Isn't it good that God has left us with a written message? Isn't it good that God has left us the ministry of God's Holy Spirit for those of us who are illiterate? He thought of all of us, didn't he? And we find that part of the scripture, as we read today, is God wants us to pay attention to what he has to say. Now, how many of you in here are parents? There's a gob of you. Have you ever wanted your children not to pay any attention to you? There's always something that we want them to learn from our great wisdom. But let's look a little bit at this particular text, and we'll try to get out of here before 5. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, which was his brother. So who did he take with him? Peter, James, and John, who was the brother evidently of... it must have been James there, was it? And brought them where? Into a high mountain. Now, if that had taken place around here, where would Jesus have taken us? Whew! That's a high mountain, isn't it? Wonder how long it took them to get up there. Do you think these boys needed some undivided attention? Do you think this John was going to need to suffer on the Isle of Patmos down the road? Did he need a little preparation before he wrote Revelation? James, perhaps, was who? I don't know that he was, but he may have been the brother of the Lord. Was he to write some in Scripture? Was Peter to be recorded? So perhaps we could say that Jesus was setting up a ministry that you and I would benefit from, something that we could listen to today here in Chatsworth. Just think about that. Peter, James, and John didn't know nothing about Chatsworth. But guess who did? I think about Chatsworth growing up. I was born about 2 miles from here. Right here, take a right. Little white mailbox that gets knocked over every Halloween. But that's where I was hatched. And then my wife was born in Mexico City. Raised in Mexico. And the Lord brought us together in Southern California. The story goes of a man that the employer sent him to town, and when he got to town, the angel of death was there and he bumped into him. He scared the fellow to death. He ran back to his employer and says, "Give me my money, I'm out of here. I'm going to Joppa." I said, "Why?" He says, "Because the angel of death is there." But it was his best employee. He was making money with him running the show. So the owner got angry. He says, "I'm going to go talk to that angel of death." And he said, "Why did you scare my employee and run him off, making that face at him?" The angel of death says, I didn't make any face at him. I was just surprised to see him because I have an appointment with him where? In Joppa. The Lord knows where we are. It's good, isn't it? Because with the Lord looking after us, it doesn't matter whether we suffer, whether we're sick and puny, whether we're lonely. He's sufficient for us, isn't he? His grace is what? Sufficient for us. Who are we to think that we're better than Christ? When you have an individual that is more innocent than a newborn child, being treated the way he was treated. And it started as a little kid, wasn't it? And went right through to the end. So he brought these men way into a high mountain, and sometimes we have to come apart to be instructed. We've got to lay down all of our worldly concerns, all of the silly things that draw our attention away from spiritual things. That is what we've got to come apart from and spend that time with the Lord. Then he can lift himself up and not only bless me, but those right around me. That's what we want, isn't it? And what happened there? And what does the scripture say? And Jesus was transfigured. What does that mean to you? Here you have God in heaven somehow putting himself into human flesh, coming to this world, having 100% divinity all the time, having 100% humanity in the form of Christ, the unique one. Now, this unique one is on the mountain and allowing this divinity to flash through humanity. And guess what these three guys got to behold? God unlimited. Isn't that wonderful? You and I, one of these days, will be able to see that same transfigured Christ. I want to be there, don't you? And we are the ones that either accept or reject them. And his face shone as the sun, even his clothes was as white as the light, and there appeared, I had always read that as if Moses and Elias had actually come from heaven to be there. But later on, Jesus refers to that as a vision. It was a vision. But listen to what happened here. During all of this time, Peter starts doing what? What was Peter good at? Talking. Peter had the gift of gab. I guess that would make a good evangelist, wouldn't it? You reckon the Lord picked him out for a reason? He started talking, and I'm sure he was just absolutely just, he didn't know what to say. And so what did he suggest? That, well, we'll just build three tabernacles here, and one for you, Lord. You can have one. But then we will move Moses right up beside you. And we'll move Elias right up beside you. Put him right there beside you. But while he continued to speak, What did the father do? He interrupted him. The devil, I think, was on that Mount of Transfiguration. He got a good lesson. He knew for certain what was going to happen to him. Doesn't mention that he was there. But I wonder if he was kind of causing Peter to blurt out of honest burst of energy. But at any rate, the Lord interrupted and said for them to do what? We don't want to listen to Peter, but hear ye who? Jesus. Hear what he says. So the reason we want to listen to what Jesus has to say is because he's the individual who is 100% divine, who is 100% human, and in Isaiah 9:6, he is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. How many fathers are there? The Bible says, is there not one God? Has he not created all of us? This mighty Jesus, this humble Jesus, walking in our midst, I wonder, after reading the scripture, if John was the only one of the group that sort of somehow understood that he was in the presence of majesty. Do we remember any incidents to where John failed? I guess the only instance, perhaps, that John failed was at Calvary. And whenever they took him, captured him, what happened to all of them? All ye like what? Like sheep have what? Gone astray. That's what we'll do. Unless God holds us close, we're liable to run away at the end and not let him save us. We don't want to do that, do we? We don't want to be our own worst enemy. Lord, we want to say, if we have to be mistreated, no matter what it takes, please, please, let your grace be sufficient even for me. We can do that. So was personal witnessing taking place there? And it was for the purpose of strengthening their faith for events to come. And that was what was happening there. The Greek word for the term hear in that particular text, hear ye him, is to listen intently with the purpose of correctly learning and complying. So when we read in the scripture, hear the word of the Lord. You remember that song? Hear the word of the Lord. It goes on and on and on. Them bones are so and so forth. Do you remember in the valley of dry bones? Hear the word of the Lord. Whenever the Lord says that, it's time for us to listen up. And we want to do that. That term, hear ye him, refers to humanity being commanded to listen when he speaks. We kind of like to use a term, hear ye me. And hear ye me, I think, refers to when we, as humanity, ask God to listen to us. Is God required to listen to us? When we pray, there are prayers of repentance. There are prayers of deep reverence and awe of the holiness of God. Have you ever tried just praying and saying good things about God? And just listen to the Holy Spirit bring out all of these things, and you just keep lifting up the Lord. And who is being lifted up? I mean, you can't get the Lord any higher, can you? It's a lifting experience for us to bring us closer into His goodness. Then there's a prayer of intercession. We had a lot of that going on, requesting for that this morning. With no more than how many we've got here, how many varied requests were there? And how terrible are things going on that we're living in? And then multiply that times all the congregation around this planet, 24/7. We must have someone with the capacity and the empathy of God to sustain us, don't we? Then we finally come to our petitions. We ask God, not necessarily for what we want, and then sometimes it is what we want, isn't it? Then we should end our prayers with thankfulness. Thankfulness. But there are some reasons why humanity does not hear God when He speaks to them. In Romans 8 and 5 through 7 and Philippians 4 and 8, let me just read that quickly for you. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, here we are all sitting here. We've asked the Lord to come into our lives. We're His children. And yet there are times when we yield to what the boogerman offers us, don't we? And that makes it difficult for us to hear as plainly as we heard before. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. And then it goes on to say, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on what? These things. We have to make a choice as to where we allow our mind to dwell. Now, let me give you an example. You ever heard of a television network called Fox News, CBS News, I guess Turner News? Do they tell you what's true? Do they tell you what's true? All of that's true that they're telling you. Huh? Well, you know, they talk about 79 murderers and 84 whatever this and that. Doesn't that fit the category here? Whatsoever things are true. All right, then let's see where else it fits here. Honest, aren't they honest? That's meeting up, isn't it? Whatsoever things are just, they're justified in telling us because it's actually happening, right? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. How many lovely news items have you heard lately? Whatsoever things are of good report. So, should we listen to the news? Should we not? Or is that even talking about this? I think what it's talking about is spend time in the Word, and then you will rightly discern where your mind is set, what news does what. I mean, you could be a bigot if you wanted to be, wanted to be lost. But we want to do what's right, don't we? Did Jesus go around and tell Pilate and people like that where to go? He didn't do that, did he? He just went about doing what? Good. Just doing his business, wasn't he? And that's what we're doing. I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't let them get you goat. Okay? The world is going to be bad. Things that's going to happen to you are going to be bad. Things that's going to happen to your family are going to be bad. It's not just the bad people that bad things happen to. Seems like the gooder you are, the worse it gets. That's okay, isn't it? Because one day, what's going to happen? All things are going to be made right. And when they get made right, they're going to stay right. And we're going to grow up, it says, as calves in a stall. Now, how does a calf in a stall? What's so good about that? They're protected, they're sheltered, they're well fed, they're groomed, probably got mama close by. They're happy, aren't they? And that's what we want to do. We want to pray, I think, that God will give us the patience of the saints. Because the patience that it's talking about enables us to endure and remain true. Oh, I want to be maintain faithfulness to the Lord, don't you? I failed him enough. I'm tired of doing that. Now, Psalm 66:18. Listen to that. Go ahead and turn there with me. And think about what this sermon was about. Hear ye him. We're on the point now to where we're talking to Jesus and we're saying, hear ye me. Time about's fair play. After all, the Lord has invited us to come and do what? Reason with him. That means a two-way conversation. That means he lets you listen, and then he lets you talk. We want to make sure that that channel stays open. Does God close the channel? What does it say in Psalm 66:18? Who has looked that up and is willing to read that? Okay, Jane.
Hear ye
All right, did you hear that? If I had cherished sins in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now, the King James Version says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, how in the world do we get around that text? The wages of sin is what? And all have what? And come short of the glory of God. Now, how are we going to get around that? Huh? He knows our heart. He knows that when we do wrong, whether it hurts us or not, whether it aggravates us or not, don't you get ill with yourself from time to time over some of the crazy things that we do that we know hurtful to the Lord? Now, if you had a child that was 18, 16, and you know that he's a disobedient offspring, would you honor his request for a new Ferrari? What do you think would happen? What would you be doing for him? Would you be answering his request? Or would you be enabling him to be self-destructive, wouldn't it? So when you and I purposely are practicing wrong, then the only prayer that the Lord is going to listen to is what? Repentance. Repentance. After all, his chore was to come, to seek, and to save that which was lost. I come that they may have life, Zoe, that's the eternal life of God, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what we want, isn't it? We want God to be able to maintain his justice in his character and at the same time be able and willing to hear our prayers. All of them. We want him to hear our prayer of thankfulness, our prayer of intercession, our prayer of praise. We want God to be able to be pleased, to have his son, to have his daughter talking to dad, doesn't he? Hear ye him. That's what he says. Let me get rid of that stuff for you. Choose that, and we'll have a great time. We'll have a great time. Now, my time is up, and I got a whole gob more here, and what I was going to do is let us practice spiritual discernment. And if you want to take these texts and write them down, I'll give you a list. And what I would like you to do is read that text and then say, now what lesson is there here that he's teaching me that I'm to hear, that I'm to learn? Isaiah 9:6. Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 1:5. Exodus 33:19. See, we could do like camp meeting if we went through all these, couldn't we? The last one, Exodus 33:19. Now be sure when you do these, be somewhere where it's quiet and you can concentrate. because you want the Holy Spirit to be free to give you what God wants you to get out of these. Philippians 2:5. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. John 12, 48. Genesis 6, 3. Isaiah 25, 9. Matthew 4:4. I've just got a few more. See how long it's taking just to read the text. John 14:23. John 14:27. John 10:10. 1 John 2:4. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Philippians 2:3, and finally, and there are many, 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 many others, 2 Timothy 3:15 through 16. Thank you very much. Loving Heavenly Father, there is nothing more that we desire than to be in your company 24/7. Amen.